Today is February 16th, the 4th of Adar. We are moving ahead a little bit in Perek Aleph of Malachim as we near the end of David HaMelech's life. So we are still talking about Adoniyahu. We're still talking about Avishag. And we will maybe see a couple different opinions as to why our original question, why these narratives are here in Malachim, because they seem very much centered on King David's life, why they're not at the end of Sefer Shmuel, because Malachim is supposed to begin with Shlomo. So just to remind you what's happening, Adoniyahu, the son of Chagit, he lifted himself up and decided that he should be king to rule, and his father had never disciplined him or limited him or placed constraints, whatever that word atzavo meant. And he was also a very good-looking man, and he was born after Avshalom. And he took with him in this kingship Yoav, David's general, and Eviatar, the Kohen. So now we're going to start with Pasuk Chet, which is we have not read yet. So if you pan back into, so you have Adoniyahu outdoors having this big party, making himself king, and you go back into the palace of David and his allies. So Pasuk Chet, V'tzadok ha-kohen u'benayhu ben Yehoyada v'natan ha-navi v'shim'i v're'i v'hagiburim asher, oh, asher le-David lo hayu im Adoniyahu. Okay, so I forgot, we hadn't finished the Malbim, but I had something I wanted to say on this particular Pasuk anyway that has to do with Purim. I'll just tell you what it is, and then we'll go back to the Malbim. Okay, so we know all these names, and we're going to see them more. Benayahu was on his way up in the military. He's going to surpass Yoav at the end of this. Natan the Navi. Yeah, I'm recording. Thank you. Natan the Navi. Shim'i. So let's skip over him. Well, we're going to read some Mefarshim. So does the name Shim'i sound familiar to anybody? So we've read about him before. There is somebody named Shimi ben Gera, who was a descendant of Binyamin of Shaul, a relative of Shaul, and he would not accept David's victory over Shaul, and he threw stones at him. He cursed him. He wasn't so nice, but David felt like it was coming directly from Hashem, that what Shimi was saying was a message from Hashem, so he wouldn't allow him to be put to death. Now, the name Shimi comes up in another place, too, that we're going to read in about 10 days. Anybody know? I'm going to actually show you because it's cool. I didn't include the sources. And then we'll go back to the Malvim as soon as I'm done with this.
Is it one of Mordechai's ancestors?
Exactly. Exactly. So let me show you. Okay, so here it is. So if you remember this pasuk from the Megillah, Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan. So it says there was a Judean man here, from Yehuda. We're not Yehudim yet in the sense of Jews. Yehuda is still a tribal configuration. This is actually where it pivots into being the Jews in general. But it was originally the tribal form of Judah. Vishushan Abirah and Shushan the capital. Ushmor Mordechai, and his name is Mordechai. Ben Yair, son of Yair. Ben Shim'i, our guy. Ben Kish, Ish Yamini. So he's from Benjamin, Yamin, Bin Yamin. So Shim'i, you may remember because we actually did this midrash, but it's especially relevant now, so I'll just tell it to you. I didn't include it in the source sheet. That there's a debate between Binyamin and Yehuda, with that Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi and Yamini. So they're both taking credit, or they're both blaming each other. So the Midrash in the credit side says, because David kept Shimi alive and didn't kill him, even though he was liable for the death penalty because of his traitorous actions, so he gets credit for Mordechai for letting Shimi live. And Binyamin says, but he's from Binyamin. You can't take credit from him. He's a Benjamite. And then they throw it back at each other, and the Benjamites yell at David at Yehuda and say, if it weren't for you, Binyamin never would have been born, and he wouldn't have refused to bow to Haman, and we wouldn't have had the whole Purim fiasco. And the Yehudaites then say to the Benjamites, well, yeah, if it weren't for you and your Shaul, who let Amalek live, the king of Amalek live, then Haman would never have been born, and we wouldn't have had this Purim fiasco. So I just wanted to begin with that, because of the Purim, and it's Adar. Okay, so that was exciting to see all those connections with Shimi. Okay, let's actually read through the Psukim, because some of this is going to be in the Malbim. Okay, so that's Pasukhet. Pasuk Tet Ve'izbach Adoniyahu Tzon Ubakar Mari Im Evin Hazochalet Asher Etzel Ein Rogel V'yik Ra Et Kol Echav Ben Hamelech U'lechol Anshe Yehuda Avdei Hamelech. So these are some very difficult words, and I didn't include them. There's a lot of commentaries trying to define some of these words and places. So Adoniyahu sacrificed sheep and cattle, and this Mari, nobody knows what it means. They translate it as fatlings, by the stone of Zochelet, discussions where that is. That's near Ein Rogel. And he called to all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. The Et Natan Hanavi, Ubenayahu, Veta Giburim, Vet Shlomo Achiv, Lokara. So he did not invite to this crowning event Natan the prophet, Benayahu, and all of the heroes, the king's heroes, and Shlomo, his brother. Vayomer Natan el Batsheva. So Natan comes to Batsheva, Aim Shlomo, the mother of Shlomo. Lemor, there's a lot of Kabbalistic things about Batsheva, Aim Shlomo. It was too way over my head. I didn't include any of it. I'm just telling you that there's a lot of Kabbalah about that. Saying, hello, Shamat, ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagit v'adoninu David lo yada. Have you heard that, or it says here, you have surely heard, that Adoniyahu is making himself king, is reigned, the son of Chagit, and our Lord David does not know. V'ata, and now, l'chi yatzech na etza. I will advise you. This is very similar language from the Parsha 2 weeks ago when Yitro says to Moshe, I will advise you. Umalti et nafshech, and I'm going to save your soul, that nefesh benech, and the soul of your son Shlomo. Lechi uvoi el hamelch, come and go to the king, David, ve'amarte lav, and say to him, halo ata adoni hamelch, nishbata la'amatcha lemor, ki Shlomo binech imloch acharai. So go to the king and say to him, didn't my lord the king swear to your maidservant, saying that Shlomo, your son, will reign after me? Behu yeshev al kis'i, and he will sit on my throne. Umadu malach Adoniyahu. So why is Adoniyahu reigning right now? R-E-I-G-N. Hine odech medaberet sham im hamelch. Behold, while you're still talking to the king, and then I'm going to come in right after you and complete your words. So that's the scene right now as we're setting it up. So let's continue in the Malvim because he's going to refer to some of this and even things after. So the Malvim was setting the stage for David and why Avishag was chosen and how she was chosen. And so we're going to continue here with Pasuk Bet. This is the second time that his medical advisors, his doctors, have told him that he should request a virgin girl. Because since he saw the gathering in of his strength, meaning he's becoming weak, and they saw that he could only be warmed through body heat, not through these clothing, so that were just simply stopping the air circulating in the room from getting to him. Sheichim oto b'chum hativ'i asher bo, that a body heat would heat him through natural means. Lo pakdu shishkavu nashav o pilakshav etzlo l'chamamo. They didn't want to appoint that any of his wives or concubines would sleep, lie with him to warm him up. Remember we asked that question, why didn't he just ask one of his wives? Why did he have this woman, young woman, come in? Ki pen yit'orer el hamishagel v'yachli shehu. They were worried that if it was one of his wives or concubines to whom he was allowed, that he would be awakened sexually and it would weaken him. Lachen ya'atzu levakesh lo nara betula. Therefore, they wanted a virgin girl, shelo tia lo lepilagesh, that would not be a concubine to him. Rak la'amod lefanav l'shartehu, simply to stand before him to serve him. Don't worry, it gets more clear. It's not as euphemistic. B'liyot lo sochenet, and to be for him an agent, mumuna al otrotav, b'inyan shelo tovo od echad minashav etzlo, ki yufrash mehem. So she was also going to be in charge of making sure that none of the wives came because he was separating from them. V'amru v'amda lifnei hamalach, and they said she would stand before the king, b'lashon nistar. This is in a hidden language. V'siyamu, and they concluded the pasuk, v'shachva b'chekecha, and she will lay in your lap, b'nochach. That's what is actually going to happen. Ratzon lomar, that is to say, she'afarsamu ki mevakshim na'ara betula la'amod l'sharet atamach. So they would publicize the want ad, would say that they're looking for a young virgin woman to stand to serve the king, ki ein min ha-musar lomar she'tishkav b'cheiko, because it wasn't good manners to say that she would actually lie in his lap. U'be'emet tishkav b'cheiko v'techamem lo, but the truth is that that's what she would be doing. She would be lying in his lap to warm him. U'bezeh hodio ma'sha ala aliv Adoniyahu limloch b'Yerushalayim below da'at aviv. And this is how it occurred to Adoniyahu that he could reign in Jerusalem without his father knowing. How could he possibly think that? Of course, David would immediately know by way of his servants and his wives. Bifrat Batsheva tagidzot, specifically Batsheva would tell him. But Adoniyahu sees the situation that with this young virgin woman, none of his wives were allowed to come before him. And also none of his servants wanted to come because they were embarrassed to go by way of modesty while he's sleeping with a young woman, literally sleeping, of course, not doing anything else. It wasn't modest. They didn't feel for them to come into David. Rak Avishag levadav shartehu. Only Avishag served him. Ve'atzra otzratav, and she stopped up all of his. It means treasures, but I think she was in charge. She was like the gatekeeper. Ve'haytayimo, and she was with him. Chashav. So therefore, Adoniyahu thought ki ya'alem hadavar min hamalach, that it would be hidden from the king. Basher in bo bechadro, ba bechadro, because nobody was coming into his room. Vilulei Natan hanavim sheshalach et Batsheva, and if it weren't for Natan, the prophet who sent Batsheva, lo haya David yodea meuma, David wouldn't have known anything. Kehaya mufrash min ha'am umimpnei beito, because he was separated from the nation and from his household. So what we've seen so far of Adoniyahu is he's seeing the weakening of the king, that he's no longer ruling. This was from last week, because his strength is gone and he's just in his room. And now he sees that for the whether he has altruistic goals for the sake of his country or selfish goals for the sake of himself to take over at an opportune time, he sees that this is the opportunity and that nobody will be there to stop him. Ve'yivakshu, ve'ata yagid hasiba atzmi'it asher nechpaz el hadavar shelo bi'ito. And now we can see why Adoniyahu rushed to do this before David would have died, not at its proper time. Ki sof ma'aseu ma'shaba Adoniyahu El Im Shlomo Levakesh Shetinaten Lo Avishag Leisha. Because at the end of his actions, Adoniyahu comes to the mother of Shlomo to request that she give to him Avishag as a wife. Now, we haven't read this in the Psukim yet, and it's not until later that after David dies, Adoniyahu is going to ask from Batsheva to be able to marry Avishag. Because again, remember, David only lied with her. He didn't actually have any intimate relations with her. And so she's technically still available. And the Malbim, it's actually a little strange what the Malbim says. And other commentaries are going to make it more sinister. But the Malbim makes it seem pretty innocent that Adoniyahu fell in love with Avishag and her beauty, and he wants to marry her. Hayat tegalelanu ki chashakba Me'od, that we see that Adoniyahu desired her very much, ad shemasarat nafsho ba'avra, to the point that he was willing to give up his life for her, because it was actually a really stupid thing to ask Bathsheba for Avishag. We're going to see explicitly, the commentaries are going to say, we're going to see it here as well, but that it's reminiscent of Avshalom sleeping with his father's concubines as a way of showing rulership. It goes all the way back to Reuven, that the pasuk says he sleeps with Bilha. We, of course, understand that differently, that he interfered with the beds, but this is a way that a son tries to exert influence and control over his father. He was willing to give his life for her, to request her from Shlomo, shelo ne'alam zot me'ito, that it shouldn't be hidden from him, ki b'nafshohu, because it was in his soul. Rak rov chashko aleha heinia oto lozeh. It was only by his great desire for her that he was moved to do this. V'zot le'ed ki kvar chashak ba mikvar be'et ra'au ta be'et aviv. And this is a proof that he truly desired her, meaning Malbim's arguing that this wasn't a coup attempt by Adoniyahu, but rather it was a true desire, and he had already desired her from the time that she came in to be David's agent. Me'az natan da'ato aleha, and from then he put his mind on her. V'zot ba'ara b'libo k'reshef esh, and it was burning in his heart like a coal, like a burning coal, limloch tekef, to be the king immediately, v'lakachta lo le'isha, and take her as his wife. So this was the way that he thought, this was plan A, for getting Avishag to be his wife, to become the king. And then, of course, she could be his wife. And when plan A didn't work, he resorts to actually asking Bathsheba. Ki lo yimnana aviv mimenu achar shelo yada, because his father would never withhold her from him, because he never knew her intimately. V'hayta rak l'sharto levad, and she was only there to serve him. V'imtzan na'arot yafot zulata l'shartohu, and he could find other young women to serve him besides her. So he's talking about reigning during his father's lifetime and asking for Avishag as a wife, and his father can just find some other girl to keep him warm. V'zeh shehikdim shehayta yichida biyofi, and that she was unique in her beauty. Im mitzad habakasha shebakshu na'ara yafa b'kol gvul Yisrael, because they went to all the board of Israel to find a beautiful girl. V'rak ota matzu mikol habitulot, and it was only her that they found from all the virgins. V'im mitzad atzma shehayta yafa ad mod, or whether it was her own beauty, that she was very beautiful, yofi muflaget, a distinguished beauty. V'lo hayta menia mitzad aviv, and he didn't withhold it, what he didn't stop his actions with regard to his father, ki hamelech lo yada, the king didn't know. V'agam shehakatuv lo be'erze befevurish shechashav ba'az, even though the pas psukim don't tell us explicitly that he desired her then, v'shelachin hechish ma'asehu, but that's why he rushed his actions. Hello, sorry. We're just reading the Malbim on the psukim. We're on psukim Gimel and Dad. V'histir beremez mipnei hakavod, and he hid it as a hint because of the honor. Hen remez kol ze im behemshech hasipor sheikdim hasiba el hamesubav. And it's hinted here, but we learn of it explicitly with the continuing of the story when Adoniyahu does ask Bathsheba for her. Im ba'acharit tavar shemasar nafsho al ze, and he doesn't know, but he's essentially committing suicide by asking for her. Sheba'avur kein neharag, it was because of this that he was killed. Ki gam Shlomo bechokhmato hevin ze shelo yishkot im yimna'ehu miyito. Shlomo, in his wisdom, understood that Adoniyahu wouldn't be quiet if he withheld her from him. And again, it's interesting that the Malbim is not ascribing any malicious intent to Adoniyahu, just that he truly desires this woman. So he wouldn't be quiet because he desires this woman so much, Avishag. Ube'ofen zen nidme b'ma'asav la'avshalom. And in this way, he's similar to Avshalom. Zeh malach b'chayei aviv, this one tried to become king in the lifetime of his father. V'zeh rotzeh limloch b'chayei aviv, and this one wanted to become king in the lifetime of his father. Zeh ba al pileg shav, this one went on to his father's concubines. V'zeh rotzeh lekachat shochevet cheko, and this one wants to take in marriage the one who slept in his lap. Rak Avshalom marad b'zadon, uba al pileg shei aviv laharot ki niv'ash b'aviv. just that Absalom rebelled on purpose, and he came upon the concubines of his father to show that he was disgusted with his father. And this one was the opposite. Ratza Avishag mipnei tavato. He only wanted Avishag because of his desire. Viratza limloch beofen shelo yireh b'enei aviv. And he wanted to rule in a way that it wouldn't be bad in his father's eyes. So the Malbim is attributing to Adoniyahu these very innocent goals and aspirations for taking control of the kingship during his father's lifetime, perhaps because he thought it would be best for the kingdom. And he only wants Avishag because he truly desires her, not because in the way that Avshalom wanted the concubines, just to embarrass his father. Okay. V'Adoniyahu ben Chagit mitnase lemor ani amloch. So Adoniyahu lifts himself up to say, I will reign. Aidei hasibot hanirat nichtav le'al, by way of all these reasons that I gave you before, hitchil lemor ki hu imloch. That's why he began to say he would reign. And he made these chariots and all of these runners that he had before him, Kamosha asa Avshalom, just like Avshalom did, laharot taksisei melucha, to show the accoutrements of the kingship. I do look up that word, taksisei. Vav, bilo atzavo, this is his father didn't put any limits on him. Ata yisaper mashe yifla. Now it's going to tell us what was wondrous. Aleph, eich lo hitiyara mi'aviv, how could he not have been afraid from his father to put himself as king? And bet, ech lo hitiyara shelo yaskimu Yisrael b'malchuto. How could he not have been afraid that Israel wouldn't agree with his becoming king? Alze omer me'aviv lo hitiyara. And this is why the pasuk tells us that he wasn't afraid of his father, ki lo atzavo mi'avav, because he never put any limits on him. V'chashav shegam ata yachrish achar sheyireh shehichzik b'malchut. And he thought that also now he would be silent after he would see that he had a stronghold on the kingship. V'lo hitiyara shelo yaskimu Yisrael. And he wasn't afraid that Israel wouldn't agree. Shebezeh haya lo gimel ta'amim sheyaskimu lav. He had three reasons why Israel would agree to his reign. Aleph, ki gam hu tov to'ar me'od, because he was also very good looking. That this is something that found favor in the eyes of the nation in the matter of kingship. It's very interesting when we discuss this in American politics, how certain presidents would never have become president because there was no television. And now you see the Malvim in the 1800s talking about how beauty, even before radio, before any kind of media, still mattered then. It's just interesting to think about. And also, on the other hand, my husband and I were watching this series of documentaries on leaders, prime ministers of the state of Israel, and none of them were television worthy. So it's just very interesting to think about this idea. And we don't know what Shlomo looked like, which is interesting also. But it doesn't give us any indication of his appearance. I mean, the text, whereas with Avshalom and Adoniyahu, we're told that they're very good looking men. And if you remember, when David was anointed as the king by Shmuel, Shmuel couldn't believe that it was David because all the other brothers were so much bigger and better looking. So it's just interesting, this the superficiality of looks and Jewish history. Kamosha Avshalom matzachin mitamza, just like Avshalom found favor from this reason that he was good looking. Be'alze omer v'gamhu, and that's why it says also he. Bet shaita malucha magialo mimin hagei hamalchut. Also, based on the norms of kingship, he should be the king. Ki oto yalda chagit imo acharei shenolad Avshalom lama'aka, because he was born to chagit after Avshalom was born to ma'aka. So remember, we talked about that. The Gemara said it doesn't mention chagit in the psukim. It says he was born after Avshalom was born, and we said, but they had different mothers. And then they compared Adoniyahu to Avshalom in how they were similar. So here the Malbim said, Ki haya Amnon habachor. Amnon was the firstborn. Ve'acharav Daniel. Daniel is another name for Kalev, I think is his other name in Divrei Hayamim and Shmuel, they're different names. The son of Avigal, who we spoke about before. Ve'acharav Avshalom. Ve'acharav Adoniyahu. So Amnon, Daniel, Avshalom, Adoniyahu. And after the first three died, so we never saw the actual death of Daniel. We saw one commentary that said that when the angel of death arrived in Jerusalem and stopped just in time, that maybe sons of David died before the angel of death reached David, the angel of destruction. Hu habachor hamalech tachat aviv. So he then becomes the firstborn to reign in place of his father. So it seems like he deserves it. Zayin, v'yu devarav im Yoav Tzruya v'im Avyatar HaKohen. So he had words with Yoav, the son of Tzruya, and Avyatar the Kohen. Shacharesha Yoav hayasar hatzava. Yoav was the general. V'chol b'nei hachayal yitu acharav. And all of the army people would lean towards him, would go after him. V'Avyatar haya Kohen hagadol. And Avyatar, who had been the high priest, the masses would go after him as well. Just to remind you, as David was fleeing from Absalom, when he actually had to leave the land of Israel because of Absalom's rebellion, Avyatar and Sadok were both the Kohanim, and the Midrash tells us that Avyatar tried to consult with the Urim V'Tumim, and he wasn't answered. And it seemed at that moment that his Ruach HaKodesh, his divine inspiration, had left him, so he was demoted, and Sadok at that time became the Kohen Gadol. And Eviatar was the last remaining descendant of Eli, the Kohen Gadol, during the time of Shmuel, the famous interaction between him and Shmuel's mother Chana, when Chana went to go daven for him. And Shmuel's first prophecy was that Eli's line would end at some point. And it ends with Eviatar, and we're going to see in Perek Bet what happens to Eviatar for having left David and joining Adoniyahu. Chashav ki shnei ela yitu et kol Yisrael charav. So Adoniyahu thought that by having these two on his side, the general and the previous Kohen Gadol, the masses of Israel would follow after him. So why would Yoav and Eviatar help Adoniyahu? Be'er Mehari, Abarbanel explains, Ki Yoav yada shebelev David alav mipnei shaharag et Avshalom. Because Yoav knew that the heart of David was upon him because he killed Avshalom. V'chashav sheyitzaveh l'shlomo alav l'hargo. And he thought that David would command Shlomo to kill him, which is indeed what is going to happen. V'chein Avyatar ra'ah shedavid cholek yitron kavod l'tzadok. And Avyatar also saw that he had fallen out of favor and that David was giving more honor to Tzadok, like the rabbi said, which I explained to you when Avyatar seemed to lose the Ruach HaKodesh. So they were out to save themselves by strengthening the hand of Adoniyahu. Okay, so Pasukhet that we read, that lists all the people that were not called to join Adoniyahu. So Shimi, Ulaihu Shimi Ben Gera. Maybe he was Shimi Ben Gera. And just to further more Midrashim that we had seen before, that Shimi was actually Shlomo's Rebbe. So somehow Shimi is this very controversial character because he does curse David and David does not hold it against him in the moment. But on the other hand, he's this traitor living in the castle, and the Gemara tells us that he was very wise and that he was Shlomo HaMelech's Rebbe. And after he's put to death, so spoiler alert, these limitations are put on Shimi so that he can stay alive and still kind of save face with the house of David, given that he did commit these traitorous acts. We'll see it more later. But it's immediately after he dies that Shlomo marries the daughter of Paro, which is seen as, even though it's the beginning of Shlomo's reign and it's before the temple is built, it's seen as a symbol of the influence of Avodah Zarah in Shlomo's reign. And the rabbis tell us he never would have married the daughter of Paro had Shimi Ben Gera still been alive. Vere'e, so this other person, Re'i, which means friendship. Like Ve'ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha. I remember in Bamidbar when it does a census and it names all the names. So there's a name there that says Achira, which always really bothered me because it sounds like my brother is evil. But the way that the Mefarshim explain it is that it's not Ra as in evil, but it's Ra as in Rea, Ve'ahavta L'Re'echa, love your neighbor as yourself. So this Rea means your neighbor, your beloved. So The Matsuda David explains, Yitachen Shehu Chushi Ha'archi. So you remember, Chushi was David's dear friend who was elderly, and he pretended to align himself with Avshalom as an advisor, and Avshalom listened to his advice, which ultimately led to his downfall. And he's called Rea HaMelech. He's called the friend of the king. V'hagiburim asher leDavid, and these strong men who are with David, Hem Adino ve'Elazar. I'm not sure who they are. Ushma asher hayu b'tzmidot im David. And they were always with David. And they're mentioned in another list in the end of Shmuel Bet, where it talks about David's advisors and people who are with him. Okay, so that is the Malviman, where we had gotten up to last week. We're going to continue the rest of the Malvim of where we've gotten up to now in the Psukim at the end. But first, we're going to go back to the Chida, the Tzavarei Shalal, who writes on the Haftarot. Just to remind you, when we read him last week, he's the one that brought Avigal into the picture, that David had fixed, had done a tikkun with his sin with Bathsheba, which was a physical sin that he took care of already, but he hadn't yet fixed the sin with Avigal, which was a sin of thought. And this is why he brings Avishag into the picture. So continuing on with the Chida, and I apologize with this, I'm going ahead a little bit of where we are in the narrative, but we've talked about the events, so hopefully it won't be too confusing. I just wanted to conclude him. So Vayomer Natan el Bathsheba. So Natan says to Bathsheba, Em Shlomo, the mother of Shlomo, Lemor halo shamata ki malach Adoniah ben Chagit. Have you heard that Adoniahu is reigning? Afila b'masha ketuv Rashi, shenatan nitnaveh de Shlomo yimloch. So even with what we've said, that Rashi explained to us that Natan was the one who prophesied that Shlomo will reign. V'ze shamar v'yomer Natan. And that's why it says, and Natan said, Lemor klomar ba'avur amira echat hane'ameret lo b'nevuah de Shlomo yimloch. So because he had one prophecy where he said that Shlomo would reign, he barges in and enters to establish his prophecy. So it's sort of a question, what is Natan's motivation here? Does he just want to see his prophecy fulfilled so that nobody would accuse him of being a false prophet? Or does he really think that this is meant to happen and it's not about his reputation? V'ko'amar halo shamat ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagit v'hu ben yafat tor. But he says, have you heard that Adoniyahu, the son of Chagit, why does he mention that specifically? Because he's the son of the yafat tor, the beautiful woman that's taken in captive during wartime. Ki matzat chunato v'hayoto hu ben sora ermorer umorchach lamot. Because of his character attributes, he will become a rebellious son and he needs to die. So Natan isn't just wanting to establish his own prophecy. He's saying that Adoniyahu is totally unfit for ruling. We talked about this last week, that the psukim in the Torah that discuss in Parshat Ki Tetzé, the captive wife, the psukim immediately following are that of the rebellious son. And we learn from that that if you do indeed take this permission to take captive a beautiful woman in wartime and you marry her, you're going to end up with this rebellious son that needs to be put to death. And that's what he goes on to say, what I just said. So we're here, v'im kein, malchuto lo tichun ve'atid leharig. And therefore his reign will not be established and in the future he'll be killed. Ve'adoneinu David, Lo yada lefi shehu nishbalecha, and David didn't know because it was sworn to you. V'gam ani amarti lo nevuati deshlomo yimloch. So surely David doesn't know anything about this because he swore to you, and also I said to him my prophecy that Shlomo would reign. V'havtecha al yedei nevi mitkayemet, and a promise by way of a prophet will endure. Af ki ikachet, even if there's a sin. Lefi sheyesh chzavat hanavi, ach ayde hamasa hazeh shemalach Adoniyahu yitgaru milchamot v'tzarot she'avru alecha ve'al Shlomo ad sheimloch. So he's saying, even if Adoniyahu becomes king, Shlomo is eventually going to become king because it was a promise that a Navi made, and it was a prophecy from Hashem. And so it will only lead to more wars and troubles until it will finally come to be that Shlomo will reign. And now go and I will advise you, na etza, give you advice, umaltiach nafshech v'nefesh binach Shlomo min hatzarot u'mechamot, and I will save you and your son from these troubles and these wars that will arise if indeed Adoniyahu is allowed to reign. Hey, v'ata hine Adoniyahu malach. So this language that he uses, which is interesting, and now behold, Adoniyahu is reigning, that he's actively becoming king. V'ata Adoni hamalach lo yadat, and my lord king doesn't know. Efshar lefi pshuto, v'ata hine Adoniyahu malach. And now you can understand it from the simple meaning that the king, that Adoniyahu is the king. V'chitema mai dehavahava, and you could say what is. Ve'od im kol Yisrael ratzu bo v'hamlichuhu lo midi haitazot v'ani anus uputur mashva. So if indeed Adoniyahu succeeded in rallying all of Bnei, all of Israel on his side, that they indeed wanted him, then he would be released, David, from his oath because the people have spoken. Kamosha katava adam b'shua prat la'anos, as it says in the halacha, that a person is obligated in his oath except if there's some kind of anus, or some kind of unforeseen circumstances, like an act of God. Dim hayu nimlachin bi, vaday haiti makayem shvuati, begozer shekachia. If it weren't this impossible situation, I would have of course upheld my oath and decreed that this is what will be. Ach liot hadavar peta pit'om b'li yati, but for this to come suddenly without my knowledge, and that this would be the will of the people, ma biyadi lasot, what's in my hand to do? I'm stuck. I'm free from my oath because it's beyond my control. And this is what Natan is responding to when he says, v'ata adoni hamach lo yadata, you didn't know, my king. Klomar v'zehu mored b'machut, this is an act of rebellion against the kingship. Biotcha b'chayim shimloch b'li yediatcha, that he would choose during your lifetime to reign without your knowledge. That is an act of treason. V'lo tachush shekol Yisrael imo, and don't worry about the fact that if all of Israel's with him. L'zeomar, to that he replied, v'ata enei kol Yisrael alecha. So this we haven't seen yet in the Psukim, but when they're speaking directly to David, he says, all of Israel's eyes are upon you, not Adoniyahu, but upon you, lehagid, for you to say what will be. V'kevan she'en yad Yisrael imo, ela adarava enehem tuluyot alecha. All of Israel's, their hands are not with Adoniyahu, the opposite. Their eyes are all dependent on you. They're hanging on you. Ladat ritzoncha, to know what you want. Imken shvuatcha b'mekoma. And therefore, you are still obligated in your oath that you made to Bathsheba that Shlomo would be the king. V'ze shamar v'ata Adoni HaMelech enei kol Yisrael alecha. And that's why it says, and you, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are upon you. D'tevat v'ata. So this word in the pasuk, and you, in la muvan, it's not clear. Dehavle lomar v'atai nekol Yisrael alecha. The pasuk would have made just as much sense without this word, and you. The eyes of Israel are upon you, because you still have the you there. Ela sheratzta lermoz bechokhma. Rather, Bathsheba wanted to hint at the wisdom. De'en lo makom patur al shuva, that he has no way of getting out of his oath. Mehashteta anot, from these two claims. Demai hava dehava dehava. The first one is what's done is done. V'shekol Yisrael ito imo lehamlicho, and that all of Israel was with him to let him reign. L'zelmar ve'ata ramaz she'ata begeder she'ita u'mechuyav l'kayam shvuatecha. You are still responsible with your oath. Chada Adoni hamelch ve'ata bechayim. One, you are the king and you are living. V'ze mored b'machut zar ma'asehu. And this one is doing traitorous, strange actions. Ve'od enei kol Yisrael alecha, and also all of Israel's eyes are upon you. Ve'en Yisrael imo, and Israel is not with them. Ve'ata mechoyav l'kayem shvuatcha, and you are obligated to uphold your oath. Ve'od tama rabba ve'hayiti ani u'bnei shlomo chata'im. Ve'omru shechatat bi behuchilo Hashem. And also the reason, another great reason, I and my son Shlomo will be considered sinners, and they'll say that you sinned against me, and that would be achil Hashem. U'miderech ha-musr taltaba u'bina k'mo shekatav ha-mefreshim. And by way of Musr, she was able to do this with her and her son, and we'll get more into that when we see them in the Psukim. Okay, back to the Malbim. So, back to the Malbim. But Tzadok HaKoyin lo hayu im Adon Yahu. So all of these people, Tzadok and Natan and Benayahu, were not with Adon Yahu, ki yadu shedat David lo hamlich et Shlomo, because they all knew that David wanted to place Shlomo as a king. Ve'yaza etzlam mered lamrot ratzon David malkam. And this to them was an act of treason that Adon Yahu is doing. Tet ve'izbach Adon Yahu made sacrifices. U'mitam ze be'atzmo sh'ra'a she'yesh mitnagdim lo. He did this in and of himself, that he saw there were those opposed to him. U'machzikim yadei Shlomo, and who were strengthening the hands of Shlomo. Ratza l'kasher et ohavav b'msorat ha'brit. He wanted to connect those who were for him in this tradition of a covenant, al'idei mishteh, by way of a party, an eating and drinking party. Shesham b'mishteh hayayin yamlichuhu, that there at this drinking party he would reign. Terem yitatsu ohavei Shlomo, before the supporters of Shlomo would advise him. Be'ofen sheyimloch pit'om, in the way that he reigned immediately. V'lchein lo kara el mitnagdav, and that's why he didn't call to those who were opposed to him, Leval yit'orer sham riv umedanim, that he wouldn't awaken their arguments and conflicts. Uma shekativ vayikra et kol achiv, and that where it says, and he called et, this word et, all of his brothers, b'nei hamelech, the sons of the king, u'lechol anshe Yehuda. So it's an interesting grammatical thing he's going to talk about. He called et, his brothers. Et in Hebrew means, ready? Da-da-da-da, direct object. So he called to his brothers, the sons of the king. But then it says, Veikra le Anshe Yehuda. He called to the people of Yehuda. So we have this grammatical inconsistency of one prepositional phrase after the verb being et and the other being to. Mivor etzli sheyesh havdel ben kara she'achareyev et ubein kara she'acharav lamed. So he's telling you there's a difference in meaning when you have a verb, and it, when you have the verb vayikra, to call, and et follows it, versus when a lamed follows it. And this happens in a number of Hebrew verbs, that you change the whole meaning based on the preposition that's used after it. Shekriya im et, so when you call to somebody with the word et, moreh shemazmino ledavar gadol, it means he's inviting him or preparing him for a great thing. And it's with the sons of the king, so everyone except for Shlomo, that he advised with them at first if they would agree. Omer kara et. That's why it says et, because this was inviting them or preparing them to something big. Ratzon lomar shesha'al atatam tchila. He asked their advice first. Lo kein anshe Yehuda. But this was not with the people of Yehuda. Kara stam. He simply called them. He called them that they would come and they would agree after this drinking party. So why does it say et natan? He didn't call. He didn't ask any of their advice. Shalom Natan Benayahu Tzadok. Okay. Yud Aleph. Halo Shamata. Have you not heard? This is what Natan says to Batsheva. Ba'al orra migimel tzadim. He called to ask her from three aspects. Aleph, ba'al tomar ki od yesh shahut, al ze amar ki malach Adonyahu, kfar malach v'adavar nachutz. You can't say that we can wait, we can tarry. And on this he said, Adonyahu is reigning. He's currently king already, and it's we need to hurry. Bet Baltomar ki imken kvar naasema aseve in lashiv. He can't say if what's done is done and we can't respond. Alze Omar Adonenu David lo yada. That's why she says, and our Lord David didn't know. Ukeshe yada yamlichet Shlomo. And when he knew, he should make Shlomo king. Yud bet gimel ba tamar ki ein bazarak redifat hakavod v'hasrara. You can't say that we're just trying to chase after honor and power. Ve'ein ze kedai etzla lehishtadel ze, and it's not worthy. It's not yochavit. I mean, not yochavit. But Sheva should not be chasing after power and honor. L'chein amar, and therefore he said, Umalti et nafshech ve'et nafesh benech Shlomo. I'm trying, she's actually has to do this to save her life and the life of Shlomo. Ratzon l'mar ki bimloch Adoniyahu yehareg etchem. Yeharog, sorry. Because if Adoniyahu were indeed to become king, he would kill them. Because he would see Shlomo as his direct competitor, that David wanted him to be king. Okay, so just to summarize that quickly, we've seen now the backstory, how the Malbim explains that Avishag needed to be part of this story of the beginning of Shlomo's reign, because Adoniyahu fell in love with her, essentially, and therefore put himself as the king so that he could take Avishag. And this then leads to the urgency and the immediacy of why Bathsheba and Natan conspire to get David to put Shlomo as a king, which we'll see next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. So this, we're seeing now how Avishag and then Adoniyahu all connect to the beginning of Shlomo's reign and why he was made king in this very immediate way by his father during his lifetime. Okay, so one last thing that we're going to say that was interesting. This is from the Musar book, The Ways of the Just, who we don't know who wrote it. And he uses this pasuk in a very interesting way. He's talking about Lashon Hara. You can see that this is the gate of Lashon Hara in this Musar book. Ach mi'ut pamim shelashon hara mitzvah. So there are a minority of incidences where Lashon Hara is actually a mitzvah. Kagon shnei rashayim shenit yatzu lasot ra'a, like two wicked people that are together to do something bad. Mutar ligrom b'lashon hara shisne'u zetzeh. You can cause the two wicked people who are planning together that they should hate each other. Shelo ya'aseh ra letovim, so that they won't do bad and it'll be good. V'chein no'ef ha'machzer acharei no'efet, and an adulterer who's going after an adulteress. Mitzvah ledaber lashon hara shelo yasu havera. If it looks like two people are going to commit adultery, you can say lashon hara to one of the pair so that they won't commit this sin. Upamim afilo kishachote rasha gamor, and sometimes even if the sinner is a complete wicked person, en lach limo berabim, b'makom sheyesh lidog shema yetzei l'tarbut ra'a. You shouldn't embarrass him in public, in a place where you're worried that maybe he'll go off into a bad culture. It's what how we describe Yishmael going off to a bad off the derech, basically. Umutar l'saper lashon hara abale machloket, and you can also say lashon hara on people who are argumentative. Shenamar, as it says in our pasuk, v'ani avo acharaych umaleti et tivareich. So essentially, what the author of this Orchot HaChaim is saying is that Natan and Bathsheba are speaking lashon hara about Adoniyahu in this moment, but it's permitted because Adoniyahu is a baal machloket. He's an argumentative person. He's causing arguments. He's causing strife. And therefore, they were permitted to have this discussion, even if you think it's lashon hara. Okay, so that is that source we're saving for later. So I hope you're starting to see how these stories fit in, not just with the end of David's life, but with the beginning of Shlomo HaMelech's reign, and why they're necessary sort of prequel stories here for Shlomo HaMelech. And we will continue on with it next week. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you, Stacey.